Amen. All right, if you would take your Bibles this morning, go to Proverbs chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. If you would excuse me this morning if I tend to cough a little bit. I think we've all kind of caught this bug, or it seems to be hopping from person to person. But please excuse me if I do. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity?" The simple. Now, for those of you who are in my class every week, this might be a little familiar to you. But the simple. Let me ask you, what is a simple person? Define it for me. What does it mean when the book of Proverbs talks about the simple? Somebody tell me. Foolish, okay. All right. Somebody else. No discernment, okay. All right. Somebody else. Yes, sir. Unlearned, okay. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, the simple person is unlearned. They lack knowledge. They're ignorant. Now, the simple person is not necessarily stupid. They're not incapable of learning. It's not that there's some kind of malfunction or something doesn't click. It's not that. It's they just don't know. Now, simple is not necessarily... Now, let me finish this before you just take off with what I'm about to say. Being simple is not necessarily wrong or bad. Because the truth is at different points in our life, all of us are simple. There are things that we just don't know. That's why I love Google. We live in an amazing day when if you don't know something, or if something, whether it's your car, your computer, or whatever it might be, if something doesn't seem right or you have a question, man, you can hop on Google, search it, and there's 15,000 forums or something that's offering you answers. And you can start looking, and a lot of times you can find the answer you're looking for. Google is amazing. But the simple person is ignorant. They just don't know. And if we all got honest, there's things that we don't know. So concerning that subject, we would be simple. But here's the difference. The simple doesn't want to know. If you notice verse 22, it says, "How long, ye simple, will you what? Love simplicity." There is an affection for their simplicity. They like it. They don't want to complicate their lives. They don't want any more information than they need to know. They just want to keep living their life, and they want you to leave them alone. They don't want to know any more information. And you know what? That's one thing about information. The more you get to know, the more there is to know. And the more complicated things get, and the deeper you get into things. It's kind of like working on your car. You know, you think it's just this. So what do? You take a couple screws out, you go in there, and next thing you know, you're like, oh man, this is broken too. And well, this is, and it's like it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And the more we know, the more complicated things tend to get. And the simple doesn't want that in their life. They want it very simple. Leave me alone. Don't give me any information. Let me just live my life. And we shouldn't be that way. We should want to learn. We should want to know things. And we're going to see some things about the simple and one reason and some reasons why we shouldn't want to be simple. But let me share a couple things that some people have said. Alexander Hamilton said, "He who stands for nothing will fall for everything." And that's very true of the simple. The simple are very persuadable. You can influence them very easily. A man by the name of G.K. Chesterton, he was an author, said, "There are no uninteresting things, only uninterested people." Benjamin Franklin said, "Being ignorant is not so much a shame as being unwilling to learn." And Benjamin Franklin also said, "Man will occasionally stumble over the truth, but usually manages to pick himself up, walk over or around it, and carry on." And aren't we that way sometimes? We figure something out, or somebody tells us, what do we want to do? We want to try our best to ignore it sometimes. That's a simple attitude. That's a simpleton attitude. And we need to be very careful in our lives that we are willing to learn, that we are willing to be teachable, and help let other people help us. David said in Psalms chapter 116, verse number 6, that the Lord preserves the simple. You see, I think God understands that all of us have simple aspects in our lives, and we need help. I think God understands that we don't know everything, and because we don't know everything, He preserves the simple. He gives us opportunities to learn and to figure things out. Now, let me say this. The simple, there's a very fine line between simple and foolish. And this is why. As you live your life, you cannot help but learn some things along the way. And as you learn those things, you then have a responsibility to do those things. And if you fail to do them, you're a fool. So, there is a fine line between simple and foolish. So, the simple person. A few things I want to give you. And the first thing I want to talk about is the provision for the simple. The first thing I want to give you is how not to be simple, or the cure, the remedy. A lot of times, you know, we start out and we talk about all the bad things and the horrible things, and then we talk about how you cannot be, how you can keep yourself from being that way. Today I want to talk about the cure for the simple first. First of all, I want you to understand that there is hope for the simple. Think about what it says in Proverbs 1:22. He says, how long, ye simple, will you love simplicity? How long? In other words, when are you going to stop? You see, there is a chance for change. The simple doesn't have to stay simple. And really, that's the neat thing about the book of Proverbs. It talks about the scorner and the fool, and verse 22 talks about scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. How long? In other words, you don't have to stay a scorner. You don't have to stay a fool. You don't have to stay simple. You can change. They don't have to stay that way. And honestly, we have a responsibility, especially if we're not that way, not to judge people because they are that way. We have a responsibility to help them. I think all too often we see people like, man, that guy's foolish. And we stay away from him. Or we just totally neglect them. Maybe you could influence that person. Maybe you could help them. How long? How long? There is hope. You don't have to stay that way. But also, for the simple person, it's really about knowing. Not being ignorant or naive. About knowing, having that knowledge. And you could go to Psalms chapter 19. What is Psalms chapter 19 famous for? What's it famous for? Come on, I know you guys know. The Word of God. The Word of God. Turn over there. We'll read it. Psalms chapter 19. No, 19. So we'll go to 119 here in a second. Psalms 19. Look at verse 7. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, what? Making wise the simple. Turn over to Psalms 119. Look at verse 130. David says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto who? The simple. You see, this book, if you had nobody else in your life, if nobody ever taught you anything, this book can make you wise. This book is enough to keep you from being foolish or simple. This book is enough. It's all we need. Now, thankfully, we do have things like Google and books, and we have teachers. We have people in our lives that can teach us about all kinds of different things. But this book is enough. This book can make you wise. This book can keep you from being simple. It's about knowledge. It's about knowing. It's about knowing. So, how do you keep from being simple? You got to know. You have to learn. You have to think about things. You have to study. You have to ask questions. You have to humble yourself. You know, it's humiliating sometimes to admit, I don't know. My kids come to me and they ask me a question. You know what? Sometimes I have to tell them I don't know. I don't like telling them I don't know. But sometimes I just don't know. And the truth is, in a lot of ways, we all don't know. There are things we don't know. And that's a humbling thing. So it takes some humility to admit, I don't know, and I need to learn, or I need somebody to help me. So the provision of the simple, the provision for the simple is God's Word. It's knowledge. It's teachers. And we have to be willing to accept that teaching and be willing to learn. So, a few things about the simple. Take your Bibles, go over to Proverbs chapter 7. We are going to look at a passage this morning that might be somewhat unthought of concerning the simple person. But it is amazing how much this passage describes the simple person. Look at Proverbs chapter 7, let's start in verse 1. The Bible says, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman." Now notice verse 5. "That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words." Now notice verse 6. "For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones." This passage mostly, or a lot of people take this passage to deal with the strange woman, which it does. But I personally am somewhat convinced that this passage was not necessarily written for the strange woman, but for the simple. To educate the simple. To give understanding and wisdom to the simple. Notice, first of all, the personality of the simple. Notice verse 7. "And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding." Here you see the personality of the simple. First of all, he's young. Notice what it says here. "And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths." Now this word youth means a son or a grandchild. Really, it talks about a whole or a category. This is not a specific person necessarily. This talks about he is a part of a younger generation. That's what this word means. But then it goes on and it says, "among the young men," or a young man, "void of understanding." And that word literally means a lad, a boy. It's translated 76 times as young man, 54 times as servant, 44 times as a child, 33 times as a lad, 15 times as young, 7 times as children, 6 times as a youth, and 1 time as babe. This refers to a young person. Now, I don't know if they're a teenager. I don't know if in our American culture they're over 18, so they're young. They're a young adult. I don't know necessarily the exact age, but they are young. And really, they're without experience. They haven't seen a lot of life. They don't know a lot of things. But they are young. And the truth is, aren't young people characterized by being simple? I don't know about you, but my kids do all the things all the time without thinking. And it's like they just don't know. They just don't get it. So what do I have to do? I have to stop them, talk with them, explain to them how things work, and then they get it. For example, yesterday we were washing our van. And my son, Wesley, wanted to spray off the van. So I said, okay. Well, he's sitting there and he's like, shh, spraying everybody and everything. Nicholas is soaked now because Wesley has just drenched him. And I said, whoa, you got to stop. And I stopped him. And I helped him hold the hose. And I said, you need to start at the top, work your way down, scoot over, work your way down. You don't just need to spray all over all crazy. And you say, Wes, that's just washing your van. I know. But you know what I did? I taught him how to spray off a van or a car. He's not simple concerning that anymore. And that might be insignificant, and maybe it is. But you know what? It's something I taught him. And you know what? I think so many times in our lives, especially with our kids, we think so many things are insignificant or unimportant, and we don't take the chance to teach them something. Even if it's just how to spray off or how to wash a car. I've seen a lot of people wash cars, and man, they do a horrible job. I wish their parents would have taught them how to wash a car. That's why I don't go to these donation car washes. Because I don't know if they know how to wash a car. And I don't want them washing my car. I don't want to go home and redo it. Anyway, that's just my pet peeve. Anyway, whatever. So anyway, they're young. And listen, young people are characterized by being simple. Do you remember Toys R Us? If you have kids, you know what Toys R Us is. If you're a college kid, you definitely know what Toys R Us is. You remember the theme song for Toys R Us? There's a part in the theme song for Toys R Us that says, "I don't want to grow up because if I did, I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid." Now, isn't it strange when you see like a 45 or a 50 or a 60-year-old person sitting down playing with Legos? Would that kind of make you go, what? Or maybe they're sitting there playing with G.I. Joes like, bah, 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 no, bah, and would that make you kind of go, what are you doing? We don't really expect to see adults playing with toys, do we? Now, for us guys, our toys just get bigger and more expensive. We still like toys, but we don't expect an adult to be playing with toys. We expect to see children playing with toys. But you see, the theme song for Toys R Us is the simple-minded. I don't want to grow up, because if I did, there's all these other things I'd be responsible for. All these other things I have to do. They don't want to grow up. They don't want to grow up. They're young. They're young. Notice it says they're simple. He's simple. Not only is he young, but he's simple. He's naive. He's ignorant. And then notice the last thing. He's without understanding. A young man void of understanding. The word understanding literally refers to the heart or the seat of our emotions, our inner man. It's who we are. It refers to perception or the ability to think through something or to reason. In other words, the simple, they don't dwell on anything. They don't think it through. And you know what the truth is real understanding takes thought. If you're really going to understand something, you have to think it through, look at it for a while, watch it take place, and think about it. You don't understand something because you just see it one time or because it just happens. Usually you have to stop and think something through to really grasp it. And the simple don't want any part of that. The simple don't want to take the time to sit down and think something through. They just want to keep rushing on through life. So, the personality. He's simple. He's young. He's naive. But notice next, not only the personality, but notice the path. Notice what it says in verse 8. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Now, I'll say this. I personally don't think that the simple here went this way to find the strange woman. I don't think he was necessarily looking for the strange woman. That's just my thought. I think he, in his simplicity, went a direction or through a part of town he had no business going through, but because he does not think, because he does not reason, he just went. He just went. Now, if you have a different idea, that's fine. But I don't necessarily think he was looking for the strange woman. I think maybe he was just trying to get home. Maybe he had to be somewhere. Maybe he had something he wanted to do, and he was just going. And that's literally what the word passing means. It just means to travel or to move. He was just moving along. So, I don't necessarily think he was looking for the strange woman, but notice his track or the trail that he chooses. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. Listen, every town, maybe except for Lattimore, has a part of town that you don't want to be in at night. You don't want to be there at night. And maybe where you grew up, you know where that is. You're like, we don't go there. I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona, and I know where that is. It's Van Buren and Washington Street in Phoenix. You don't want to be there. Because that's the part of town that is. Now, if you go there during the day, there's probably some shops and some other things there that you might would go to. But really, when it gets dark, you don't want to be there. Because of the type of people that are out. I remember when we went home for Christmas, when we went back to Arizona for Christmas last year. We got there, and I told my brother, I said, hey, man, we need to go try this pizzeria. And it's supposed to be one of the best pizzerias in the country. Some of the best pizza you can get in the United States. I said, man, we've got to go here and try this pizza. He looked at me, he goes, where is it? I said, it's over on Van Buren Street. And he goes, why do we want to go over there? I don't want to go over there. But that's where it was. It was in that part of town. And you know what? You don't want to go there at night. And maybe Philadelphia, California, wherever it is, wherever you're from, Virginia, wherever it is, in cities, in towns, you know where that place is. And I don't necessarily doubt that this young man wasn't or didn't have that information available to him. But you know what? He doesn't think about it. He doesn't reason through it. He doesn't think about his decision. He just moves on. If you remember, Proverbs chapter 22, I believe it is, in verse 3 says, the simple pass on and are what? Punished. You see, the simple are just moving through life. They're not thinking about their actions and what they're doing and the possibility of consequence. They just go. And that's what I think this young man did. I think he was just going. Notice the timing. Not only the track, but notice the timing. Verse 8, or verse 9. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. This was not the time to be going through that part of town. Like I said, there may be parts of town where you would go there during the day, but at night, you wouldn't go there for anything. But yet, he goes through there at night. There should have been something that went off in his brain that said, man, it's dark out. This is a shortcut maybe, but I don't want to go through that part of town. I need to take the long route. But there is no thinking. He's simple. He's just doing what he wants to do, and he's just going. And let me challenge you. Think through things. Stop yourself. Sometimes we get so busy, we just do stuff. Make yourself stop and actually think through what you're doing and why you do it. How you're supposed to do it. That's one thing that I've found with my current employer. Putting cabinets in a house or even building cabinets, sometimes it's so easy just to get, man, we got to get this done. And so you start going, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, man, this is out of plumb or this isn't level, and now I got to pull this off the wall and I got to start over. And it would have been a whole lot quicker if you had just thought it through and checked everything out and took your time. And let me challenge you, think things through. Think things through. Think about where you're going and what you're doing. Think about your children, for those of you who have kids, and what you teach them, how you teach them. Teach your kids to be teachable and to want to learn and not to be simple. Teach your kids how to think through a decision. I know for me as a parent, it seems like so many times, man, I make a decision, we're just going, we're going, we're going. And I never stop to think about teaching my kids why I made this decision or how I made this decision or why I came to this decision. Teach your kids how to think. Teach your kids how to reason. But not only the path, but notice the power over the simple. The power over the simple. Now look at the rest of this passage. Verse 10. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. Shocker. Right? Really? No way. Shocking. No, it's not shocking. He went that way. And that's the problem with the simple. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 14 that the simple inherit folly. And I'm getting ahead of myself here, but the simple inherit folly. Now, let me ask you, how many of you are planning on an inheritance? You don't plan on an inheritance, do you? You don't save up and say, well, one day I'm going to inherit such an amount of money, and you don't know how much of an inheritance you're going to get. You don't even know if you're going to get an inheritance. You don't necessarily plan on that. And the same is true for the simple. They're not planning on the folly. They're just running through life like this guy is doing. He's running through this part of town. Shocking that he would happen upon a harlot, right? No, it's not. He should have expected that. And that's what happens when you don't think something through. You rush into it, you're going through it, and then boom, something happens. You're like, how did this happen? Well, you didn't think about it. You didn't prepare yourself for it. If you would have thought about it and thought it through, this might not have happened. And that's the simple. The simple inherit. It just comes upon them. Falling. It just happens. And you know, that's the way an inheritance works. Somebody passes away, and what do? They leave you something. It just happens. You're not necessarily, okay, they're going to die in 6 days and 7 hours, and I'm finally going to get that money. You don't know when it's going to happen. It just happens. And that's the simple. They inherit folly. It just happens. So, he's going through this part of town, and shockingly, he happens upon a strange woman or a harlot. Now notice verse 11. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. Notice, she lieth in wait. You know, typically in culture or in humanity, the man is the hunter. Is he not? You know, usually the guy asks the girl out. Right? At least that's the way you'd hope it would be. You know, it's usually the guy's job to try and get a wife. But you see, with the strange woman, it's completely reversed. She becomes the hunter, and you become the prey. And in our culture, it's even getting that way with women. Women are becoming more of the hunter, and men are becoming more of the prey. And we have to be careful how we raise our daughters and how we raise our girls. But one characteristic of the strange woman is she is the hunter. She is the aggressor. She is out to get him. She lieth in wait. She lieth in wait. Notice verse 13. So she what? Caught him. He did not catch her. This is another reason why I don't necessarily think he was looking for her. She catches him and kissed him and with an impudent face said unto him. Now, a few things about this. Notice first of all, notice her attire. The attire of a harlot. Now, when I say the attire of a harlot, probably just about all of us have something go through our minds that we say, this is probably what a prostitute or a harlot or a strange woman would look like. Or you could probably figure that out for yourself. But whatever it was definitely distinctive. This was not everyday going to the grocery store attire. This was something that definitely set her apart as a strange woman. So she had the attire. But now she grabs him. It says she caught him. And then notice this word, and with an impudent face. Now, I asked my class last week, what does the word impudent mean? What do you think that word impudent means? Somebody, anybody. Going once, going twice. Somebody, impudent. What does it mean? Innocence, okay. All right. Somebody else. I'm sorry? I heard a mumble. I don't know. I couldn't make it out. The word literally carries the idea of being improper or improperly bold or forward. In other words, I don't know if she was checking him out. I don't know if she was looking him up and down with her eyes, but there was something improper or forward with her face. You know, our faces are very influential. Our faces say a lot about us. You can ask my wife. My wife is not really able to hide anything with her face. She cannot hold anything back. If she feels a certain way, you know it because it's written all over her face. But our faces communicate a lot. And obviously, being a strange woman, I think we could stop and think about it a little bit and try to figure out what exactly she was trying to communicate with her face. She was being forward. She was communicating something she had no business communicating with her face. So, she had an impudent face. Next, notice verse 14. This always boggles my mind. She says, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Isn't it amazing, no matter how pagan or how evil somebody or something can be, we still try to mix in religion. All of a sudden, we're spiritual now. She tries to spiritualize her sin. She tries to make it okay. Hey, I've paid my vows. I have my peace offerings. I don't care. She's still wrong. She's still evil. But this is how she's trying to convince him. She still tries to appear religious. Notice what she says next in verse 15. Therefore came I forth, notice this, to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. She makes it personal. It's about him all of a sudden. I've done all this for you. I've looked for you. And she's trying to convince him even more by making it him. It's all about him. The truth is, it's nothing about him. And isn't that how Satan works? Hey, you need this. Don't you want this? This is what you like. It's all about you. It's not about you. It's about Satan. Satan's trying to deceive you. She's trying to deceive this simpleton. And she's trying to make it sound like it's about him, but really, it's about her. Notice what she does in verse 16 and 17. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Now she makes it look good. It looks good. It's inviting. It's clean. It smells good. It's inviting. Then notice what she says in verse 18. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love. Now she makes it sound good. And she's getting more and more brash as she goes along. She's getting more and more forward as she talks. And then the last thing, look at verses 19 and 20. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. We can get away with it. There's nobody here to catch us. We can do what we want. The good man is gone and he's going to be gone for a long time. And Satan does the same thing. He tries to make it look like we can get away with it. And you know, it's amazing. We always think we're the ones who are going to get away with something. Isn't that true? This is my turn. I'm actually going to get away with it. Sin doesn't work that way. Nobody gets away with it. But yet we always think that we're going to be the exception. And this young man, no doubt, probably thought in his mind, I'm going to be the exception. She tries to convince him that he is going to be the exception. Oh, hey, it's all going to work out. It'll be okay. You'll get away with it. It's going to be great. No, it's not. No, it's not. But notice verse 21. And this is really the verse that I've been working up to. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. Notice the last part. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. The word forced literally means to thrust or to push. She literally pushed him into this with her words. And this is a characteristic of the simple. Take your Bibles, keep a finger here, go over to Proverbs 14, just a couple pages over. Proverbs 14, and look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." You see, the simple believe everything. And here this simple boy is caught by somebody that was a whole lot wiser in this world, if you will, than he was. And she convinces him to yield, and she literally pushes him into something. Why? Because he didn't think about what he was doing or where he was going. He inherited folly. Why? Because he didn't stop to think. And when we don't stop to think, we will inherit folly as well. We've got to think things through. But those simple don't think things through. And they believe every word. It's kind of like our election. You know, I don't know if you've watched any of the debates, and I'm not here to push or pull for anybody or to necessarily talk politically, but what I want to say is, if you listen to all the things that they say, man, it's so easy to get confused and lost. Because they say different things about each other, then they say one thing, then they say something else, and they're flip-flopping, and they're back and forth. And man, I told my wife, I said, there's a part of me that just doesn't want to care. And honestly, that's a simple attitude, to stop caring. But you got to decipher, you got to read the facts, and you got to study it out a little bit to see what's really going on and what people actually think. And I'll be honest with you, the last debate, I don't know how many of you watched it, but the last debate, I sat there and was hoping it was going to turn into a cage fight. I did. I think I would have gotten cable and paid pay-per-view to watch it. Because, man, there were some times there I thought it was going to come to blows. And I'm sorry, I would have really enjoyed that. But anyway, maybe I shouldn't, but I would have. But, you know, it's frustrating. And you know what? It's easy to get caught up in their fair speech. It's easy to get lost in their words. You know, there are some people, and the New Testament talks about false teachers who are good with their words, and they lead people astray. You know, we have to be careful what we read, what we listen to, what we put in our minds, what we put in our ears, because it's easy to be deceived. None of us are above being deceived. None of us are above being led astray. And we have to guard ourselves from that. We have to be careful. And when we do read something, we have to have our minds open. We have to be willing to think about things as we read through them. Not just read it and accept whatever somebody says, but think through it. Think through it. Here, this strange woman, with her fair speech, caused him to yield, and with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. She forced him. We got to be careful what we listen to or what we put in our lives. And then the last thing, real quick, is the punishment of the simple. Notice verse 22. It says, "He goeth after her straightway." Notice this, "as an ox goeth to the slaughter." Now, I grew up on a farm. I'm not a farmer. I really don't know a whole lot about farming. But I have seen, especially in Lattimore, you know, the gates or the alleys or whatever they're called, you know, where they make the cows and stuff go through there and get in the truck. Now I do know this. When I was in school, I worked out at a place called Simaeus Foods in Forest City, and it was a pig slaughterhouse. It took me about 2 weeks to get to where I didn't feel like I was going to lose my stomach every night. But it was an interesting job. It really was. And every day, we slaughtered between 300 to 350 pigs a day. And in the slaughter room, it was like a ginormous shower. Maybe almost the size of this wing over here. And what it was they would bring this pig in through a chute, and when he'd come into this little pen, but it was tight, he couldn't move. He couldn't go anywhere. And they would get him inside that little box, and they'd shut the door behind him. And then there was a guy who had this, it was kind of like a gun, but what it was like a gun, but when he pulled the trigger, this shaft would come out and then pull back in to the gun. And what they would do is they'd shoot him right between the eyes or right in the forehead to kill that pig. That's how they killed the pig. They would then open the side of that box, and that pig would roll out. They'd wrap a chain around his feet, and they'd hoist him up in the air. And this hoist was on a track, and it'd go around the room. And there were like five or six guys maybe that worked in that room, and they all had different responsibilities. So the first guy would shoot that pig, roll him out, they'd jerk him up in the air, and the next guy would slit his throat and slit his belly and let him bleed. Now, for those of you with weak constitutions, I do apologize. But that's what they would do. He would then be swung around that room, and different guys would take out different things. And it was interesting. We kept heart valves for heart replacement surgeries. That was kind of cool. We kept baby pigs, and we put them in a big old 50-gallon drum, you know, for like science class or biology. And we kept different parts of the pig. And, of course, we chopped up the meat and made sausage and all kinds of other different things. But it was an interesting process nonetheless. The most amazing thing to me, though, was there was this Mexican guy who sliced the ribs. This guy was about this tall. He was about this wide. And no joke, those ribs, that rack of ribs, it'd be the spine, both racks, all one thing, roll right in front of him. And no joke, he could take his knife and in one swipe, both racks of ribs were off. That's how sharp he kept his knife. But man, it was just amazing to watch those guys work because, I mean, man, they clean a pig in minutes. It'd be all done. And you know what? This simple man who goes to the strange woman is just like that pig. He doesn't see what's coming, but he goes into the box. And the next thing you know, he's killed, he's rolled out, he's jerked up, he's gutted, he's bled to death, and he's destroyed as he goes around the room. And that's what happens to the simple man when he inherits folly. And he doesn't see it coming. He doesn't know what's going to happen. Why? Because he doesn't take the time to think about it. The punishment of the simple. Psalms 116 verse 6 does say that God will preserve the simple. He does give us chances to learn. He does give us chances not to be simple. And we have to take those chances. We have to take those opportunities. Go over to Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 29. Look at verse 29. It says, "For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel." Now, wisdom is talking here. "They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices." Now, notice this. "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them." You see, this is the problem. Wisdom and understanding is crying out. It is available. And for those who choose to ignore it, their choice to ignore it will slay them. It'll slay them. You go to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. We already talked about this. "The simple pass on and are punished." The word "punished" literally means to be fined, to be condemned. There is a consequence. If you choose not to think about what you're doing and you just pass on through life like the simple, there are consequences. There is punishment. There is a fine. And then, of course, there's Proverbs 14:18. "They will inherit folly." Now, it's kind of like the ostrich. Now, I did look this up, and the ostrich does not stick his head in the sand, for those of you who do not know. An ostrich does not actually stick his head in the sand. But you know what? That's the simple person. The simple person sticks his head in the ground and thinks he'll be okay because I'm just ignoring it. It'll go away if I just ignore it. Let me ask you this. If an ostrich did stick his head in the sand, would that be a great defense? No, it actually becomes more vulnerable, doesn't it? So ignoring something doesn't make us any better. Ignorance and being naive doesn't help us. It's not like, "Oh, I don't know about that, don't tell me because I don't want to have to deal with that." No. Even if you ignore it, you still are going to have to deal with it sometime. So why not choose just to learn about it and figure it out and not be simple? But you see, what the simple do is they put their head in the sand, and they're all that more vulnerable. They can't defend themselves anymore. And what do? They inherit folly. They pass on, and they're punished. There is a punishment for being simple. I can't point to a verse and tell you what that punishment is. All I can tell you is that there will be a consequence. There will be a consequence. And in closing, let me say this. I think sometimes in our ignorance, and ignorance is not necessarily a bad thing, or it's not necessarily a wrong thing. Ignorance just gives us the chance not to be ignorant. But I think this sometimes, I think fear keeps us from trying. Fear of what? Failure. I think sometimes when we're confronted with knowledge or with some information, we're afraid that we might not get it. We're afraid we might be embarrassed. We're afraid we won't be able to understand it. We're afraid we might not be able to do anything about it, or that we'll be able to do it insufficiently and it won't be as good as it could be. I think fear sometimes keeps us in a simple state. Why? Because we're afraid to fail. And I just want to challenge you today. Don't be afraid to try. Who cares if you fail? You know, it seems like there's always those people who sit back and go, man, I can't believe you messed that up, but man, you really did a horrible job with that. But you didn't even try. At least I'm trying. You know, and I think that's true with a lot of parents. I know my parents were this way. I think there were a lot of things that my parents didn't know, they were ignorant of, they weren't sure of, and so they did nothing. And I think we're that way sometimes. We don't know, so we do nothing. And I decided a long time ago that I'm not going to be that with my kids. If I mess up my kids, I'm going to mess them up trying. I'm going to try. I'm not going to sit back and say nothing or do nothing. I'm going to try the best I know how and the best God has taught me and the best I can. And if that fails, well, then it fails. But I'm going to do the best I can. And I just want to challenge you this morning. Don't be satisfied with being simple. And don't let your kids be satisfied with being simple. Challenge them. Teach them how to think. Think things through.